Shalom, anahnu korim petah davar.
We are reading the introduction to the book The Jewish Choice. You're welcome to go into kab.co.il or kab.tv to ask questions. I just want to say a short sentence. Following the reading in Chaim's book, The Jewish Choice, the book that engages in anti-Semitism and its solution according to Kabbalah, we heard many comments from the friends that it's a bit missing to understand the inner engine that works behind the phenomena in the book and the history that the book describes. But according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, because the book comes out in Rav's name, it's about the system of forces operating all of this, and the book should be read from that perspective. So we took words from Rav and edited them, and that's what we're going to read. And this will open the book. It's not going to be at the end or in the middle. It's going to open up the book, and let's hear it from this perspective. And if you have any questions, we'll be happy to hear. From heart to heart, I grew up in past Soviet Union, and the vast majority of my family was perished in the Holocaust. I witnessed the many faces of anti-Semitism, the hinted and the revealed, and I experienced it on my flesh. I have family, friends, and thousands of students in Israel, in North America, and all over the world. And I see the danger that lurks to the Jews in the image of another world war and another Holocaust. The anti-Semitic fire is raging, and we must not respond to it with disregard or ignorance, and we should come together against the danger. I'm very concerned about the future of Jews in the U.S. and Israel. I am concerned about my students, my friends, my family. This troubling concern brought me to write this book. This is an address from the bottom of the heart to all the people to all of my people to awaken now, when there is still a way to change the course that leads to negative outcomes, since from here things will only deteriorate. I know it's unpleasant to listen to my warnings and that my words awaken anger and contempt. But even if people will mock me, laugh, or even disregard me for my forecasts, I care too much about my people to save words. I'm hopeful that after you read this book, you too will be convinced that there is a reason for concern and there is time to act in unity above all of the differences between the factions of our nation.
So this is an introduction to the Hebrew translation, right? It's not for the English version?
Opening. Gentlemen, anti-Semitism is back. The book that you're holding is not a history book. It presents facts, data, stories, and impressions from global history and Jewish history in particular. However, these embody an inner and broader system of deeper consequences. The familiar history reflects a vast mechanism of positive and negative forces that operate in reality. These forces are what the wisdom of Kabbalah investigates, the wisdom that I learn and teach for over 40 years. According to the sources of Kabbalah, there is one positive force in nature. It is the upper force called the Creator, or the abstract light that fills the whole of reality. It is a force of giving and bestowal, a force of connection and love. To begin with, besides that force, there's nothing in reality. However, quote, when in its abstract will there was a desire to create the worlds and emanate the emanations, end quote, as described by the Holy Ari, in order to carry out the wholeness of his actions, names, and denominations, the Creator created the will to receive pleasure, which is the complete opposite of himself, so that there is someone to receive the pleasure that he wants to give. However, that's not enough. In order to be capable of receiving his goodness, his benefit, in a complete manner, the will to receive in the created being must evolve to the level of equalizing to the Creator in its intentions. That's why the Creator imprinted the quality of bestowal from himself onto the created being and his will to receive through a spiritual process called the shattering. The shattering is a complex yet vital action that brought about a positive outcome. The previous connection between the will to receive and the will to bestow was broken, and a new connection was made where these desires intermingle. That's how the will to receive in the created being is now comprised of two opposite forces: the will to receive, which is itself, and the will to bestow, which has been received from the Creator. These two forces now begin to work together in the created being, developing it towards its destiny, receiving the complete benefit. And that's the essence of the wisdom of Kabbalah, the wisdom of how to receive correctly the abundance of pleasure. However, the process does not end with the shattering. It rather continues and unfolds from the upper spiritual world to this lowly world through a step-by-step process where the Creator and the created being gradually distance and separate from each other. Only from this dark world, which is devoid of light, we begin to rise back to the root of creation, to the source where we came from, to the complete and whole life. The new thing here is that on the way back, we accumulate impressions and powers that intensify invaluably our spiritual attainment, which is given to our free choice. According to the wisdom of Kabbalah, a balanced human being works in between two opposite forces that complement each other: to receive, however, with an intention to bestow onwards all the good that it received. The more a person aims to tread this golden path, the more he resembles the Creator. The Jewish choice. In our world, the will to receive, defined in Kabbalah as the matter of creation, continues to evolve perpetually. In the view of scientists, the matter of creation was first revealed 14 billion years ago with the Big Bang. This iconic event that created the universe with the axes of time, space, and motion. And since then, it expanded to the point that Earth ripened to the conditions that enable the creation of life on Earth. Many lived on the face of the planet, but only about 5,780 years ago, when the will to receive first peaked in a created being that walks on two legs, called human, then life actually began. What is so special about that first human? From that point onwards, the will to receive began to culminate from generation to generation to the point that it inflated to a state called Babylon. The will to receive was so great there that human beings aspired to build a tower so high that it will touch godliness. The Tower of Babel was a symbol of the will to receive that was exaggerated, that has appeared there at the dawn of humanity. The Babylonians were willing to work together for a common egoistic interest. Together, they thought, they would be able to even take control of the forces of nature. Then appeared Abraham, who was the spiritual leader of Israel for later on. Out of deep questions about the meaning of life, about who's pulling the strings, Abraham discovered the laws of the system of nature. He discovered that there is one force working in nature which runs the whole of reality as a single system that has deterministic, predetermined laws that are immutable. And he also discovered that all people are interconnected in a single network, and they are managed as a single person by a single force, that force of bestowal and love that started the whole of creation. Moreover, Abraham discovered that the root of all evil comes from the narrow egoism, the will to receive that is exaggerated, that keeps increasing and intensifying. It is what unravels the connections between people and takes the whole system out of balance. This will to receive, with the correct balance, with the aspiration to bestow, is destined to be used as a lever to raise human beings to a connection with the upper force. Abraham understood that in order to balance the negative and natural force of egoism, it is mandatory to awaken against it the positive force in nature, altruism. The challenge is that this force is hidden, and it appears out of the common effort to connect, to build good connections with each other, above the egoistic rejection. This revolutionary spiritual revelation and the way to realize it, Abraham formed into a method of connection called, in our days, the wisdom of Kabbalah. With that method, Abraham turned to the citizens of Babylon and told them that godliness, the force of love and bestowal, can only be attained through their connection. Not many followed him. However, those who did heed Abraham and followed him went out of Babylon, ancient Babylon, to the land of Canaan, surrounding his idea. A unique community was formed, which will later become the people of Israel. The name Israel is a combination of the words Yashar and El. Yashar means straight to the upper force, the force of bestowal, the good that does good. In the rest of the Babylonians, the ego continued to develop regularly, not in an intensified way, and later on they became the 70 nations of the world. Correspondingly, or in contrast, in Israel, the ego grew more and more, and they learned how to cover the crimes with love through the method of connection that the father of the nation taught them. Throughout their journey, Israel went through ups and downs in their relationship. There were times when the ego increased and separated them, and there were times when they managed to transcend it with their power of connection. They went down to Egypt. They came out of Egypt. They stood around Mount Sinai. They received the Torah. They lived 40 years in the desert. They fought and then made up again and again, to the point that they entered the land of Israel. In Jerusalem, they erected the first temple, which fell and was destroyed, and then once again they rose and built the second temple, which then was destroyed as a result of unfounded hatred, a greater will to receive, that caused such division that the nation could not overcome. Then the nation went to 2,000 years of exile. It is written, the Creator exiled Israel among the nations only to add the proselytes to them. The purpose of creation is not for the people of Israel, but for all people of the world. It is in the ability of every person to achieve complete attainment of the Creator and the creation, to reach what is called in the wisdom of Kabbalah the final correction, which means the correction of the will to receive from the egoistic intention in order to receive for itself only, to an altruistic intention in order to bestow to others. After 2,000 years of exile, humanity, the same Babylonians who scattered across the planet, is now reconnecting to that group of Abraham, Israel. How do they join? For that, we have to understand the following Kabbalistic principle. The connection that was made through the shattering between the will to receive and the will to bestow brought about the creation of a spiritual structure called the general soul. This structure divides to two parts, Rosh and Guf. An awakening towards correction can first appear in the Rosh and only then in the Guf, head and the body. The Rosh, head, is also called Israel, which is implied in the letters of Li Rosh, and the body is referred to as the nations of the world. In the process of the shattering, the two parts intermingle with each other and with each other, which is a preparation for their future connection and their mutual ascent to the final correction. Therefore, if we look at our world through new eyes, we'll see a mutual connection between two forces, the Creator and the created being, the will to bestow and the will to receive, Israel and the nations of the world, internality and externality, love and hate, positive and negative. Moreover, if we review history through the prism of forces only, we will see how humanity takes the shape of these spiritual forms. All parts of humanity are interconnected in a single great network. Because it is so, the relationship of the world towards the Jewish people depends only on the relationship between the Jews themselves. Because they received the spiritual ascent first and therefore hold the method for connection, the key to a good, whole, and eternal world. All of Israel is divided and in conflict from within itself, and as long as that happens, it radiates negative influence throughout the network. And that's where all the collisions and crises between people, countries, and superpowers come from. That's where hatred and violence emerges from, and that's the reason for anti-Semitism. The quality of connection among the Jewish nation, between the people of Israel, the students of Abraham, is the factor that shifts the scales of the general connection system towards a positive or negative connection between everyone. When Israel will realize the method of connection within itself, it will influence the general system of connection positively. The positive force will radiate throughout the system to the very last person. That's why it is said that the people of Israel is supposed to serve as light unto the nations. The meaning of this is that building connections of love and unity among the people of Israel operates the force that can balance and correct the system, the human network. Through the sense of unity that will spread from Israel to the world, the anti-Semitism, violence, terrorism, and war will stop. As it is written, when there's love and friendship and unity in Israel, there is no place for any calamity to appear towards them. This is from Ma'or Vashemesh. The slavery in Egypt, the blood libels in England, pogroms in Russia, Inquisition in Spain, and even the horrible Holocaust that took place in Nazi Germany. All those are expressions for the appearance of the negative force, the result of the ego that increased, and Israel did not unite above it. In contrast, the temple in Jerusalem, the Golden Age of Spain, and other examples that can be mentioned briefly, are expressions of the positive force, the connection between the hearts that elevated Israel above the separating ego. In the year 2020, when anti-Semitism increases in developed countries such as the U.S. and countries in Western Europe, we must understand that history is repeating itself. The laws of nature are unchanging. The growing ego separates between us in order to drive us towards wholeness, meaning to connect in love between man and his friend, and thus promote all people of the world towards the unity in which the thought of creation will be realized for the created beings. It is possible and desirable to read the book from this point of view, to discover chapter after chapter what the laws of nature are, how they work in harmony and reciprocity between them, how they then manifest in each of these eras where the Jewish people blossomed or faded, and deeply understand the events that are taking place these days in the diaspora and what they are supposed to do as one. The wise is one who can foresee the future. Therefore, the more we increase awareness to the phenomenon of anti-Semitism and its solution, and develop a subtle inclination towards unity, we can write the next chapter of humanity and take part in the process together with the upper force.
Is there anything to change or add? Please.
I think the personal address in the beginning is very powerful. It ties the reader to you.
Don't be all excited, just speak to the matter at hand.
It's not enthusiasm. I think that the second part that starts talking about Abraham and the purpose of creation loses you completely because it's preachy.
So it's worthwhile to make it shorter.
And make it more personal.
All right. More?
No.
Yes?
I think that the addition of this new introduction undermines the effectiveness of the book altogether. I understand that people want everything to point towards the wisdom of Kabbalah and that all Jews should learn, the whole world should study Kabbalah. I think this is counterproductive to the audience that we're aiming towards. I think that the strength of the book.
We don't talk about the wisdom of Kabbalah in the book at all, only about connection.
Right up front, asking the reader to look at the book from a perspective that they're really not capable upon a few paragraphs to absorb and understand. I feel that the strength of the book is that it's non-dogmatic and it allows a broader scope of people to really put to absorb and begin to see a pattern in what's going on in the world and where anti-Semitism comes from.
The introduction needs to be more emotional, right?
Emotional, but not and short. Refer to Kabbalah. I mean, although there are Kabbalistic texts referred to in the book, it doesn't, it's not very many, so it feels like, okay, it's explaining a few things about Jewish history that people have heard about.
All of the connection to the wisdom of Kabbalah, yes, that's true.
And I feel so strongly about this that I also think it, the book should say, by Chaim Ratz, with the greatest honor towards you and all respect, you're the source of everything we're working on here, but in order for people to absorb it better, I also think it should be under some ghost publishing company. There should be a different name under the publishing company, and it should say by Chaim Ratz.
So if it's under Chaim Ratz's name, right, but not me, because then the book will be closer to the reader.
Perspective, whether they have, a lot of people in the Jewish community have feelings this way or that way if they see your name. Or if they don't know who you are, they look you up, which is good, but they see this or that, and too much talk of dogmatic anything.
I'm listening. Although it's already in Amazon, available, as far as I'm concerned, it should be for the reader. Yes, quickly though, each one, just one word.
Quick question, what do we want from the reader?
He should know that the connection is salvation.
Yeah, but emotionally or systemically?
No, emotional.
Only emotional?
Yes, we need to speak to a person in emotional terms. We also speak about disasters there, but it's all emotional.
Yeah, but if he understands the laws of nature and how the system works...
He won't understand the laws of nature. Nobody has the mind for it. Just enthuse him, move him emotionally and towards connection. Yes, really quickly.
Yeah, at first, in the beginning, it says that you're very concerned about the people of Israel and so on. I think as a Kabbalist, you should add for both humanity and the people of Israel. And also, we need to look into what Lawrence said, because we saw in the past that you are known much more than all of Nebuch, then we should think about it, if to just write Chaim Ratz or name it under you, because...
No, I'm not talking about if they know or don't know me, but perhaps my name repels people.
Well, it's a mixed opinion, you know. Some people will read it because it is you.
Well, what to do? Yes, Danny.
I think we need to reference some more sources right in the beginning. And also, there is this issue of the abundance and the pleasure. There are many organizations that speak in this language. We need to clarify several things. First, that there is an inclination in every person to some search, and also the matter of love, that we need to understand that it comes after a few pages. I would plant it in the beginning, because that makes the whole difference.
Yes.
I understood it's supposed to be for Israelis in Israel.
Yes.
So first of all, as an Israeli, it doesn't feel like any threat about Israel itself. You have to talk about how anti-Semitism leads to a threat on Israel, because if not, then an Israeli would say the Jews should come to Israel and everyone will be fine. That's what I understand. Secondly, we somehow disconnect what's happening in the state of Israel from the whole process of creation and all that. Why aren't the wars on the state of Israel and all that are part of the Jewish people fulfilling their role? We don't connect what's happening in the state of Israel to the whole process of creation. It's completely detached.
That's lacking. Right. So this introduction, there's many things you can add there.
No. We're almost done, yes. I think it's too much Kabbalah in it. It's a whole course in Kabbalah, this introduction, and looking at the people sitting here and all the people in Israel, the people in the Kli, this is the amount of people who can absorb these terms. Other than that, no one can understand it.
Absolutely, absolutely correct. Yes, Danny.
In Introduction to Tests, Balasulam starts with questions that lead the reader with the right deficiency into the text. Maybe from your personal address, you can talk about how you had questions. The people of Israel used to be attacked when they were in among themselves, and they when they were mingled, when they had money, when they didn't have money, when this and that.
Rabbi told Dudi he will work on this introduction and how exactly to alter it, make it better. Yes, Professor, what of you?
We didn't talk about the question who the book is for. But if it's for everybody, I did an exercise on myself, and as the book is without the edition, it's possible to give it to many people. I would even cut back on many quotes like on Abraham, etc., that people see that is not historical. And here it's like we put a symphony with a pop song together. I feel like Lawrence that it really hurts the efficiency, the effectiveness of the book.
Might be. Yes, we need to listen, and yes.
The personal address is very good, but there are things here that are too sharp and I think redundant. You say, if people will mock me and laugh and all that, this is redundant.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, I know that some people will feel these warnings as unpleasant and it may awaken anger, but I care too much about this.
Don't forget to write it. Are you listening to me? Don't forget to write this to Dudi. And all of you, anyone
of course,
who wants to. Yes. We're done now. You write to Dudi. Whatever you think about it, he'll go over everything and he'll make it right. No, of course, people tell me there's a need for introduction. I don't know. We'll continue. That's it. Now I have another question. What, Leo? Was it you? Oh, an announcement. Go ahead. Something unrelated to this, right? We're done with this. You have Dudi's email, write to him, and whatever happens, happens. Yes.
Yeah, so we are still very grateful and excited for the African Congress and already looking forward towards the next event. On next Sunday, a week from today, there is a unity event in our center here in Petah Tikva for all the Israeli groups. Men and women, 1,400 people from all of Israel will come here. It's a powerful event. Everyone's invited.
When?
6 p.m. starting together, Israel time next Sunday.
Next Sunday?
Yes, a week from today. A detailed schedule will be sent to all the friends through the WhatsApp, etc.
Do you have anything to show them, all of them?
We can show a slide if it's there in the broadcast, the same one that we're showing.
All right,
the announcement. Thank you. I also want to address the friends we have all over the world to also make an effort to be with us as much as you can, embrace us all over the world if you can, convene in your centers, gather in your centers, and let's watch all of this as one Kli. The goal of this event is important to say, it's to prepare us for the big Congress. That's what it's aimed at, and we want to do it together with all the friends in Israel and the world. So everyone's involved. Invited, and thank you very much.
Yes.
I received many impressions from the about the African Congress. People feel
great,
love.
Yes.
People feel together. People feel their destiny.
It's worthwhile to continue.
Yes, yes.
Yes, I also think that the whole world was very impressed by this as well. Because for the first time, a whole continent appears, which seemingly was disconnected before, and we didn't take them into account. They were disconnected from us. We didn't know that there's... Well, it was a very special event. Very beautiful. We'll hold a few more. Such events with them. We need to think about how we can expand our contact with them, what they lack in terms of equipment and so on. in order to be connected to us properly and permanently. Italy.
Yes. Thank you, Rav, for this opportunity to ask. I want to ask, today we have the Yeshivat Haverim, World Yeshivat Haverim, about the Congress in Israel. And so I want to ask, after the African Congress, we felt that we are completely now. So what is your expectation, Rav, now from us, for our preparation towards the big Congress in Israel?
We need to understand that with respect to the wisdom of Kabbalah, we are dyslectic. How to put it in Hebrew so that people understand it? Dyslexic. Right? I don't know what it means. I have a lack of emotion. I have a lack of cerebral understanding of it. I don't even know what I lack. There are people in our world who have this feeling that have this connection to spirituality, and I don't even know what it is and what I lack and how to feel it. And that's how it is. Each one of us lacks something because we are parts of the general vessel, the general kli of Adam Rishon. So we can say that always in anyone, someone has a certain dyslexia, a certain lack of a grasp on something, right? For example, me with art, right? Paintings and so on. Someone with respect to music, another one with something else. But with respect to spirituality, we're all like that. And we need to develop qualities which we do not have. They're not in us. Did you ever see dyslexic children? They don't even understand what they lack. And if they're taught all sorts of things, then they try, they make an effort, and somehow they can compensate to an extent. But they know that they lack something here, lack something there. So we need to relate to ourselves in that manner. And only through our connection do we gain the cure, the reforming light. And then we shall be Bnei Adam, human beings. Complete. Let's try. Yes.
An update. Typically we have a webinar with you on Sundays and a lesson to the World Kli. So now it will be a replay today. So there will be a replay for the webinar and also a replay for your lesson at 4 p.m. and 5 p.m. Israel time, respectively. And then coordinators will not do a broadcast meeting at 6 p.m. We will rather do specific meetings with the groups. So that half an hour will not be today. So again, 4 p.m. Webinar replay and 5 p.m.
Wait, New York. Where did they run off to?
It was about the book. I can send it to you.
Yeah. Yes, send it to Dudi. Bye. Excuse me.
The Gathering of Friends, Sunday, today, 6:45 p.m. Israel time. We invite all the friends around the world to connect, KabbalahGroup.info, and connecting to the source of life. Dear friends, students, viewers, you're all invited to the 2020 World Kabbalah Convention that will take place in the Exhibition Gardens in Tel Aviv, February 25th through 27th. Call 1-700-509-209 for details. Go to kab.co.il/convention for all the details. With this, we conclude. Good day, good night. Let your heart speak. Let your heart listen. Shoulder to shoulder. You won't be alone.
Together, together as one.